Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. You're going to be glad you're with us, too, because you're going to get to hear another version, another visit with our good friend, Dr. Robert McTeer. Bob McTeer is currently a distinguished fellow at the National Center for Policy Analysis. You first met him on my show, at least, when he was president of the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank, one of the 12 banks in the Federal Reserve Organization, former member of the Federal Open Market Committee. Did that for a number of years while he was with the Dallas Fed. He was also chancellor of Texas A&M organization, and now he's with NCPA. But through all those different outstanding high-profile assignments, he's always had one position that he hasn't changed, and that's as a member of an outstanding and valued member of our brain trust. Bob McTeer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim.
And I know that's the one job that you really cherish, right? And that your mother would be so proud of you for, right?
The Jim Blasingame Connect.
Exactly. There you go.
Obviously, yeah.
Hey, Bob. I want to talk about moral hazard for a minute. This is a topic that you and I've talked about before. I remember about a year ago when we were talking about Bear Stearns and we were talking about what to do about some of these issues. We were just starting to realize where some of the shoes were starting to drop about a year ago, and you and I talked on this show. We talked about moral hazard, and it was when the concept of moral hazard was just really starting to people were starting to get comfortable with breaching the moral hazard. I think what you said at that time was that you thought that we might have to put up with a little moral hazard. We might have to breach that a little bit. We might have to sort of get over the moral hazard thing. First, I'd like for you to remind the audience what that is, and then I'd like for you to tell us if you think we've gone too far.
Well, moral hazard generally is somehow or another rewarding people who have made bad decisions or acted badly in some way. And the reason you don't want to do that is you don't want to encourage others that come along under similar circumstances to do that as well, thinking they're going to be bailed out.
Mm-hmm.
For example, everybody thinks now that the biggest mistake the authorities made in this current crisis was letting Lehman Brothers fail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm positive that they let Lehman Brothers fail to avoid moral hazard, or at least to get on the right side of that issue, and it didn't turn out all that well. Right now, I think a current example of moral hazard is the stimulus bill, the provisions that will go toward bailing out state governments who have built up large deficits.
Mm-hmm.
If the Treasury comes along now and says, "Well, we're going to give you money in proportion to your need, that is in proportion to your deficit," and I'm not sure that's the way they're doing it, but next time around, it might be a little harder to lay off people and to cut back to get that budget balanced, because there might be some feeling that things get bad enough that the government's going to intervene.
So the moral hazard is what I'm terming a passive force. It's a force that we impose upon ourselves, so to speak, that's not required. There's no law that requires it. It's just the right thing to do to avoid breaching the moral hazard. But once we've done it to the degree that we now have, and to the point where it's almost not even being debated anymore, isn't that kind of a dangerous place to be?
Where I make a distinction, Jim, is who are you helping with some of these bailouts? most of the what we're calling bailouts, things like Bear Stearns, Merrill Lynch, AIG, the decision makers lost a lot in those decisions. They generally lost their job and lost the value of their stock. Now, some people may have been helped, like bondholders and counterparties.
Right.
But I think that under most of these circumstances, they weren't bailed out to the extent that somebody coming along 2 years from now will try to copy their example, because their example didn't lead to good things.
So you're saying where it, in some ways it might seem to be moral hazard, but by the details of how it was actually implemented kind of isn't moral hazard.
Yeah, it...
I see,
you have to reward the bad decision makers.
Right, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Good point. Well, then we're going to talk some more about this with Bob McTeer. See why we think he's such a smart guy? 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Don't let your troubles.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you'll use it to your advantage. We worked hard to bring you something that will help you with your small business. Lots of stuff there. If you'll just read, listen, ask, we got all the different ways that you like to learn is right there. If you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between, we've got something there that you can either read or listen to, and I hope you'll check that out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out our blog. I write this on a rocks on the homepage there. My Small Business Minute, Motivational Minute, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of stuff there, including the body of work that Bob McTeer has deposited with us over the years. He's said so many smart things with us that it'd be fun to go back and listen to some of the things. Even though some of the things were current events at the time, you know, his wisdom prevails after all these years, and I hope you'll go and do that. Bob McTeer is our guest right now. He's a distinguished fellow with National Center for Policy Analysis, former president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. How many years were you with the Fed? About 30 plus years?
36 years with the Fed. I was president of the Dallas Fed for 14.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim, can I give my blog a plug?
I hope you will.
Well, I just have a couple of really interesting things I think you'll find on it. It's www.bob-mcteer-blog.com.
.com, right, okay.
But I tell the story on the next to the last one about a friend of mine inviting me to go hunting, and he drove me out to this isolated place. And
it wasn't Dick Cheney, was it?
Well, actually, it was Phil Graham.
Oh.
Maybe the same thing.
Yeah.
He drove me out to this isolated place, and he gave me a rifle and a shotgun. He said, the rifle is for wild hogs, and the shotgun is for turkeys, wild turkeys. And they had both in this general area.
Mm-hmm.
And not being a hunter, I was sitting there for a good while saying, shotguns, turkeys, rifle, hogs.
You're a good old Georgia boy. I can't believe you're not a hunter.
Well, turns out I got one of each. However, this came to me the other day when I was reading about the stimulus package.
Yeah.
On the one hand, that thing is so large you can hardly comprehend it, but on the other hand, it's so scattered that I doubt that it does much good anywhere. And I thought, this is like shooting a hog with a shotgun.
With a shotgun, exactly.
And so that's the image that's
good. Good one. You know, there's a haiku in there somewhere, Bob.
And the other one I wrote about the Roman circus that these Congress people were making out of the bank CEOs the other day. That was shameful, the way they lined
them
up and tried to humiliate them.
Like those guys actually knew what they were asking.
Yeah. And they just show their ignorance so much. But
they don't realize that they're trying to get 4 minutes of fame, they're actually getting 4 minutes of shame. They don't realize that, do they?
Well, it may be that they have some constituents that thinks that's cool, but...
Yeah.
People like you won't.
It just demonstrated to me how little they really know, and it just lowered. If it was possible, it lowered my regard for our members of Congress. So many of them, and Bob, it really frightens me when I think that they're who we're turning to get us out of this recession.
Right
that
now,
is
they're
a scary
more interested
thought.
In cutting people's pay and penalizing them than helping them.
What are we going to do about this, Bob? What's the solution?
Well, looks like nothing's going to work without time, and time's not our friend these days.
Mm-hmm.
My theme lately has been the stimulus package was probably a bad idea, unnecessary, and harmful over the long run.
Right.
What's more important is the financial system. We've got to get that thing rescued. Because
and nothing's really been done to we haven't found the key to that, have we?
We have not. And my friend Tim Geithner, who I overlapped with him 2 to 3 years on the FOMC.
Do you think he was a good choice for Treasury?
I thought so, and I still think he'll be all right. But the terrible mistake he made was allowing these expectations to get way ahead of where he was.
Right. Well, the president did it too.
The president did it to himself and to Tim. Night before Tim's speech, he said he's going to give you all the answers.
Yeah, he said he's going to have a detailed plan tomorrow, and then Tim came out the next day and punted.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not surprising because Tim was working closely with Secretary Paulson.
Mm-hmm.
If there were any low-hanging fruit, in their opinion, they would have already grabbed it.
Right. So what do you think is going to be the key? What do they need to do to get the banks opened up? I mean, there's so much I don't think they even know where all the toxic assets are and how to find them.
And a lot of them wouldn't be toxic if we hadn't sort of defined them as such. I still think that a big culprit here is mark-to-market accounting.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All these banks have all these mortgage-backed securities on their books that they would be able to hold until they recover or hold to maturity, but the accounting rules require them to mark them down because they're not trading right now.
Because nobody wants them.
Nobody wants them right now.
So that means the value is almost nothing.
It's like somebody telling you got to sell your house by noon tomorrow. And whatever price you can get under those circumstances is what you're going to have to carry it on your books at.
Right. And that's what's the problem is that if they'd suspend mark-to-market for 2 or 3 years, that would give us time to work these assets through the system, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. And
identify the bad ones.
They wouldn't even really have to suspend it. All they need to do is break the link between the mark and regulatory capital. The way it is now, they lose a dollar of capital every time they mark something down a dollar.
Right. And that's the reason why they've had to, so many of these companies have had to go to raise more capital. They weren't out of cash. They were out of capital, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought. 10 till. Right back after these messages with our good friend Bob McTeague. I'm going to get Bob to give us his tour of where he thinks the economy is going over the next 6 to 12 months. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Dr. Robert McTeague. Bob is a senior fellow with the Center for Policy, National Center for Policy Analysis, ncpa.org, right, Bob?
Right.
And, folks, I encourage you to check that out. The chairman of that organization is our good buddy Pete DuPont, who's been on the show many times before. And, Bob, your website is bobmcteague.com, and they can find your blog from there, too, right?
That's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, bobmcteague.com, T-E-E-R.com, and find the blog there and go check that out, folks, when you get a chance. Bob, I want you to talk to us about the economy in a second, but before you do, Geithner is supposed to be unveiling his mortgage relief plan today. Is that right?
Well, the mortgage relief plan, I'm not sure it's Geithner who's going to do that one. I think maybe the president is.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. But I think
that's going to be more moral hazard, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's hard. It's so complicated to do these things because of the way these mortgages have been sliced and diced and sold all over the world.
Yeah.
People don't own the whole mortgage anymore. They own little pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks as though anything that's effective is going to involve breaking of contracts.
And that's not good.
Oh, yeah. If you give the judge...
That's moral hazard on steroids, isn't it?
What the house payment's going to be... it's hard to feel sorry for lenders, but a lot of the holders of this stuff weren't the original lenders.
Right.
Yeah, our, it'll be like breaking the gold claws back in the Depression, I think.
Right. Well, that's moral hazard on steroids at that point, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is more sacred in our society than a contract?
Well, you almost use that word every time with it. They call it the sanctity of contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and folks, let me tell you something. If we go to that place, you know, gird your loins, buckle your seatbelts, because once we break that veil, once we pierce the veil of the sanctity of contracts, Bob, it's all over, in my opinion.
Well, we may just have
I
a
hate
few
to be,
hours
I hate
left.
To sound negative, but I think people need to be upset enough about this that we all get up on our hind legs and say, stop, this has to stop somewhere.
Yeah, and you know, there is a slower-moving alternative. It's not in the bank's interest, if it is a bank, to foreclose. If we could somehow or another bring these people who are having problems together with the holders of their mortgage, they both have an incentive to work it out, including the holder of the mortgage.
Right.
It's better, though, that they do it than somebody does it for them.
I have a friend who used to remediate sludge, oil, petroleum sludge, really, really ugly stuff. And the process required three things: centrifuges, which he called centrification, the application of chemicals to separate the good stuff from the bad stuff, and the third thing was time. If he explained to you how he got the good stuff out of the bad stuff, he said centrifugation, which is like, you know, pressure, chemicals, which is something he applied, and the third thing was time. It couldn't happen without the time. We've got to give this time to work, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We do.
Bob, what are your thoughts on the economy for the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, I'm afraid I'm pretty pessimistic. All the momentum is in a downward direction. The last GDP number officially was down 3.8%, but that benefited a lot from inventory accumulation, and mm-hmm. without that it would have been 5.1. The job losses in the last 3 months of the year were as great as they were in the earlier months, all the earlier months of the year, mm-hmm. so there's a lot of momentum there. On consumption, which is 70 to 71% of total spending, the consumer no longer has a rising stock market and rising home prices,
or access to credit.
Up. Those have turned, or access to credit. Those have all turned negative on the consumer. So, most consumers still need to save, but now, if they do, it's going to be the old-fashioned way, by cutting back on consumption.
Right.
And of course, that's self-defeating when you do it in large scale. Called the paradox of thrift. You try to save more and income falls and you end up saving less.
Will we be out of the recession in 2009 early enough to even know that we are?
I don't think we're going to get out in 2009. You know, I got consumption going down, investments going down.
Yeah.
Exports and imports have been helping us, but if the dollar keeps benefiting from a flight to quality, which
right.
is almost an oxymoron,
that's going to hurt our exports.
That'll go away. And
yeah.
all you got left then is the government. And
yeah.
as big as a stimulus package is, it's not likely to create many jobs.
It is not going to help. Thank you for saying that, because that's mm-hmm. the truth. I wish it were not true. Hey, Bob, before you come back the next time, will you try to find some good news for us?
Yeah.
And bring us a haiku. Bring
it.
Us a haiku back when you come back.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob. Bob McTeer, ladies and gentlemen, BobMcTeer.com. I got to go. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.